New research suggests that you will live a longer life if you read books. Researchers at Yale University say that book readers have a significant survival advantage over those who do not read books, on average living 2 years longer. The commentator Alex Kane is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen.
Do you know, it's something I just have never got into. And I'm sure this doesn't bode well for those people that, I don't know. But anyway, I'm 43 years of age and I don't read. I read a lot for work. So I read a lot of newspapers. I read a lot of online stuff on the news websites. But I would not lift up a book and read it.
I think, Stephen, you're fair enough, because if you look at the research, and it's not entirely new, this research. I mean, I've seen stuff like this before over the years. But yes, the fact you do read, you say you read for work, but I'm pretty sure, given the number of programs you do, Stephen, the number of topics you cover, you probably have a phenomenal level of reading without realizing it. What I think you're missing out on is the, what I think people who don't read miss out on, particularly children, it's been drawn into that other world. Your world is this world, Stephen. Your world can be, you know what you've had to cover, I've had to talk to you over the years about it. It can be unpleasant, it can be nasty, it can be depressing. The great thing about a book, the great, particularly novels, is that they take you into a different world, a better world, a gentler world, a world where you can laugh, relax, care about other people. But it's not a world of constant blackness and misery and people shouting at each other. I think that's the one thing. And that's what they say about people, you know, as they get older. You know, we have people who do, but, you know, widows, widowers, people die, people separate and so on. One of the great problems in modern society, and the figures go back for this over 30, 40 years now, it's loneliness. And the other thing they find about reading, and it's an old cliche, I think it goes back to the 60s, it used to say, you're never alone with a book. That's true, you're not. And people who don't read, Stephen, they do, they have long periods when there's no one, and the television will bore them afterward, the radio. It's that sense of no other world they can go into, and that's quite sad, actually.
So do you think I'm missing out?
I think you will miss out, Stephen, because there'll come a point, you've said it, I mean, there'll come a point, and then maybe there must be a point, I mean, you've talked to me off-air about this sometime, but there must be points when you don't want to listen to any more news, you don't want to listen to any more catastrophe, you don't want to sit there thinking, oh, that's a good subject, that might be interesting, oh, I could cover that sometime. There must be points, Stephen, when you liked it, you must want to go, even like I've heard you talk about films sometimes. You know, this thing about you just want to escape.
Yeah, well, that's when I go to America. I'm going to Miami, and well, I'm going to Miami in 2 weeks' time, and this bloody Zika virus thing, of course, doing the rounds.
You go to Miami thinking about the Zika virus.
I know.
Because that's your job. You think about these things. But do you take books with you? I mean, when I go on any holiday,
no.
I'm never away from a book, Stephen. I always have 2-3 books on the go. And partly, again, it goes back to my first political involvement years ago. I mean, I've read all my life, as you know, because I didn't, when I came from the orphanage, I couldn't speak. I've told you this story. So I didn't actually learn to read properly till I was 9. I wasn't speaking till I was 8 and a half. So books changed my life. That's why words, books, literature, novels, they all matter to me. And it does. I do when I sit on buses, when I go to other people's houses, when I see kids, Stephen, 13, 14, 15, sitting, chasing bloody Pokemons around the place. And you say to the parents, do they read? Oh, no, they don't read. And I just, at some point, those kids, everyone will have a moment when they are so lonely and they have no escape. And I think people who don't have an escape, Stephen, they're not as rounded as people who have read, who have thought.
So I am. I'm going to Miami at the end of August, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I were to bring a book with me, what should it be? And let's push that out to you at home this morning. 0330 80 55 55. What book should I bring with me that you've read that you would recommend? Like, what do you think, Alex?
Well, that's a huge problem. I take Megan. Megan's my 17-year-old. We take her into the library. I take Lila as well, who's almost 7. I let them choose books at random, Stephen, because the big danger of saying to somebody you will enjoy this, particularly if they're not a reader, is that if you make the wrong recommendation, I mean, I would say to anyone, naturally, Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was the key.
Is that your favourite author?
Conan Doyle, my favourite author, but Sherlock Holmes, I remember because I just started. I was just getting confidence. I was almost 11 at the time, Stephen. You have to understand, Stephen, you know me now. You've only known me as someone who writes and talks. You have to think of this boy, 8, 9, 10, who didn't speak anywhere, who barely looked at people, Stephen, who wasn't comfortable with saying anything out loud. Sherlock Holmes changed me because I suddenly read something and I thought, it actually triggered, and that book opened the door. I went to the librarian. It was a brilliant librarian who actually said to me, have you tried this, tried that? That's what you need. If I could say to you now, pick up Sherlock Holmes, Stephen, I could say to you, pick up Harry Potter, which I actually think is brilliant, by the way. And there's so many, Swallows and Amazons, the new films, just that you may go and see the film. My advice is to people who say they don't read, if you've gone to film recently, particularly 13, 14, 15-year-olds, and the parents, oh, they love that film, they love this film, they love that television program, my advice, and I do it with Megan and Lila, in Lila's case, I read the books to her, I say, read the book, read the original source. And it is astonishing, the number of kids have said to me afterwards, that was fabulous, Alex. It missed, the film missed half the story. And I said, exactly. Read the story and you will enjoy the films much more, probably.
What about autobiographies?
Well, I do that as well, simply because of the nature. I mean, the great passions of my life, Stephen, away from detective fiction and so on, it's politics, it's history, it's people. I'm like you. I'm fascinated by what makes people tick. I'm fascinated by why they do particular things. So, yeah, biographies and autobiographies. I just think, in general, my advice to people, if you're not a reader, I wouldn't say here's a summer list, you must read this, because the first book might put you off. My advice is read anything and everything.
I've bought a book. I actually got it in an old bookshop in America, and to my shame, I haven't even opened it yet. But
why did you buy the book?
Well, because there's a guy who I really admire in the media. I just think he's an exceptional broadcaster. I think he's incredible. A guy called Anderson Cooper, who's the anchor for CNN.
I know who you mean. Yes.
And he's written an autobiography. I don't know. I've bought it. I'm really interested in him because I think he's a pretty special person and a pretty special broadcaster from what I've heard about him. But I don't know. It just seems like hard work opening a book and sitting down, and I'm busy and there's work and there's somewhere to go. And I guess that's about making time for yourself and then seeing if you enjoy it.
But that's the thing, Stephen. I think you've summed it up there. Some people I know, and this is not you, by the way, but some people, late teens, early 20s, they're almost afraid to read. They're almost embarrassed about it because they haven't read much. They're a bit uncomfortable, words they don't know and skipping over and so on. But other people, maybe you, Stephen, I sometimes get the feeling, listening to you and talking to you, you don't actually physically, mentally know how to completely switch off and relax. And if you can't do that, it doesn't matter what book we would recommend for you. As soon as you open it, you'll get halfway in. It'll say something. This guy was born in such and such and worked in the steakhouse. And you say, steakhouse? Wow, I must talk to this guy. You're suddenly jumping onto the next day. You have to give a book time. It's you and the book. It's a wonder. It's the most intimate form of conversation you can have. It's you and the author, you and the characters. But you need to be able to say, I'm going to give this book a couple of hours right now.
Alex, thank you. Morning to you. So let's ask you then, if it is a fiction book that you would recommend for me when I go on holiday, which would it be? 03030 80 55 55. Good fiction book that you think that I would enjoy, and maybe that's another cycle in my life that could help me calm down a little bit, help me relax a wee bit more if I started reading books rather than reading all this dopey stuff within this program that I get, all of those reams and reams of research notes that I read every single night. Maybe don't read as much as I should.